We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we sit down with illusionist Jim Monroe. During our time together, we talk about the importance of our testimonies and the importance of evangelism. Let's listen in.
Hello and welcome. My name is Tim Emmerich, and I'm a men's pastor here at Gateway Church. I've got my team here with me today, and we are interviewing Jim Monroe. He's an illusionist and an evangelist. So before I turn it over to him, I want to talk about a couple things. So obviously, we're doing this from home on our Zoom. And so if you see a dog run by or bark or a kid come by or one of our wives walk by, that's just part of us being at home, and we're just doing this. We're not going to stop or pause. This is pretty raw. So just give us grace if that happens. Next off, I want to go ahead and pray and kind of start this off the right way. And then I'm going to turn it over to Jim, and he's going to start off with a trick. So Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for bringing us together and just giving us a way to communicate even in this time, Lord. So we thank you for what you're doing just through us, Lord. And we just ask you to continue to speak to us, speak through us, and to help us be in unity in this time. Lord, we just pray that we would hear your word today, Lord God, and that you would help us to understand what it means to evangelize in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jim, let me turn it over to you. Why don't you start us off and show us what you got?
Ooh, show you what I got. All right. So most people would not begin to believe that even what I was using was a real deck of playing cards. So I actually went and got a pack that I bought from Costco. This is still factory sealed. And I'm going to open these and I'll let you see all the cards so that you know that I'm playing with a full deck and all that stuff. They all come with a little sticker here. So I'll see, pull this off here. These are always a little bit tough. Let's see, this pops off here like this. And then when you open up a brand new deck of playing cards, you have the jokers, and then you can see that, and then you have these two instruction cards on top, and you can see that all the cards are in new deck order from start to finish. Everybody feels good about that? Okay, so now I'm gonna tilt the camera this way. Hopefully nobody thinks that I tried to switch out a deck of cards while I'm doing that, because I didn't. But let's give these a quick mix and a shuffle or two and another shuffle and another mix. Just kind of get all these kind of mixed up. So you can see that they're beginning to mix pretty well, right? And I'll tell you what, let's try this. Tim, why don't you help me with this, okay?
All right.
I'll tell you what, why don't you just, these are, once again, do you want me to shuffle these anymore? Do you feel good about this?
I feel good.
Okay, then here's what we'll do. I'm just going to have you to tell me, you're going to say stop whenever you want. Since you're not here, I'm just going to cut the card. So just say stop whenever you want. Just say when.
Stop.
Right here, you're sure? So you want this one, okay? You don't want this one. You could have stopped here, but you stopped here. All right, now obviously I'm going to be able to see which card you picked, but you picked, that's the eight of diamonds, okay? All right, cool. So now let's try something with the eight. So I'll actually teach you guys what a lot of magicians do. They do this thing called shuffle tracking. And all shuffle tracking is the ability to kind of make a card look like it's where it is. So for instance, here's the eight of diamonds. It's on top, okay? So what we do is we'll cut and we'll make the cards kind of assume that they're being shuffled, but they're really not, all right? Because when I cut, this looks like it's being genuinely mixed up, correct? Right? Yeah? Okay, cool. So, okay, cool. So just a couple more times. I know, here comes the trick. Don't worry. So I'm good enough at this that if I can cut just a couple times, I can have the card that I want, your card, jump to the top, and I'm keeping track of... I think I missed it by one. Is it the eight of diamonds, right? Okay, I missed it by one. But being a magician, you do have the ability to just kind of like wave if you want. And I actually caught it the first time, I think. Was that the Eight of Diamonds?
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Stop it. You stop it right now, Jim.
That's awesome.
Another way that we do this is, I'll explain this to you. This shuffle tracking thing, I mean, that's the magicians call it false shuffling, but card players call it shuffle tracking. So if you're familiar enough with the deck of cards, you can see, you can track any cards you want at any given time, even though they appear to be mixed up, and they actually are being mixed up. Sometimes just the sound or the feel, like there's 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I got them all. It's 1. Wait, let's try that again. Hang on a second. 1, 2, 3. Let me see if I got all these. 1, 2, 3, 4. All 4. That'll work, right?
That is something out loud.
But the I guess the really weird, the really weird thing is that even if we do mess up, we can just do what some people would call real illusion, which would be like Tim, do you like black or red cards better?
Black cards.
Black cards. So if I took the ace of spades, right, and put that's for you. I'm trying not to put out a frame. And then I also gave you the club, which is here. Can you see this over here? The club? And I put that here as well. And you took those two. But let's say I wanted the black ones. All you have to do is kind of wave like that. And that's when they change to the red cards. And I can keep the black ones over here.
Yeah.
I'm foolery here. Jim Monroe.
Yeah.
We'll do a little more later. How about that?
Yeah, well, I think so. Jeremy Rock, he's one of the guys on our team. I think he actually has a question for you. He's been watching.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's some awesome stuff. And for those of us that are watching that maybe don't know who Jim Monroe is, I've heard through the grapevine you played some ball. But man, like for those of us watching that don't know who Jim Monroe is, who is Jim Monroe? What's your story, man?
Yeah, so probably my claim to early fame, if you want to call it that, was I was a pretty good baseball player. I got drafted by the Tampa Bay Devil Rays in the 1997 amateur draft. I ended up going to the University of Texas to pitch. That's how I got to Texas. And while at Texas, I began to experiment with the art of illusion and also became a Christian, started my Christian walk while at the University of Texas. As well, a friend of mine and I decided to put we put an idea together with just simple card tricks. This is around the time that David Blaine became pretty popular, and we would go out on the campus of the University of Texas, do card tricks for people, gather crowds, and then start spiritual conversations with them about what they believe to be true. That turned into a ministry called Maze, which we've done a few different things at some of the men's conferences over the year. Over the years, and Maze kind of blew up into this larger evangelistic ministry. And so for about 17 years, I did a road show. I did a live illusion show that traveled the world. And I want to say that we did close to, 1,000 shows in 17 years. So a lot of ministry in those times. So, yeah, that's who I am. Probably another thing is I've got an I Am Second video. You can go to imsecond.com and look for my name and watch that. Or, another neat kind of ultimately humbling and flattering thing was when the Reverend Billy Graham used my story in the last evangelistic address of his public career before he passed away, called My Hope America. And it was re-released this year, actually, during Easter as as his last message. So my testimony is in Billy Graham's last message, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's incredible, Jim. Well, it's such a privilege for us just to get to take this time with you. And thank you for being here, because what you do, I mean, it does touch so many people. You've got this gift as an illusionist. and this heart to be an evangelist, and the way you put those two things together is just incredible. And I've had the honor of seeing you live before, you know, quite a few times, and I'm always just in amaze, just like we were with those card tricks. And we have another guy on our team who he's kind of gotten into the card artistry thing.
So
yeah.
He's been itching to show you what he can do.
Of course. You know, gotta try out for master. You know, I don't do a whole lot of like magic trick type stuff, but I've been practicing the art of cardistry. I know that's a newer art, but I just gotta see what I've got going here for me. I don't know, maybe that's something.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Dude, that's awesome.
But I don't know how that holds up against the master though.
No. That's awesome, man. Very, very cool.
As awesome as that is, Jim, I have a feeling you might be able to one up that.
Oh, so we're doing breakdance fighting now?
I feel a competition brewing here.
Oh, okay. All right, let's try this. Okay, when do you guys name a face card?
King.
King of what?
Hearts.
King of hearts. Okay. The king of hearts. Okay. So you're just going to have to, again, trust me, but if you were to touch this or touch my hands, there wouldn't be any sticky on it at all. I promise you. That's what I initially asked people to do. Let me see if I can do this the right way here. So let's see. You said King of Hearts, right? Do you want to change your mind? Are you happy with the King of Hearts? You don't want to change it to a different face card?
No, I'm happy with it. I feel good.
Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Ready? So, can do this. Now, the thing about illusion is that your eyes, your five natural senses are always telling you, man, what you think you see is true, right? So your eyes would be telling you right now that the card is kind of bent, right? You can see the crease in there. And if you listen or if you watch closely, you might even think that the card's being like torn. Can you see that? A little bit torn, right? You can actually maybe hear it tear. Can you hear that tear? And you might actually sing like you can actually see it in two pieces, right? Do you see that? One, two, right? Watch. You can see the shorn edges, right? Right there. Look, watch. One, two, three. Boom. Just like that. It was never actually torn
in the first place.
But this is the crazy part about that trick. This is the crazy part of the trick. If you take it again, you can hear it tear again. Listen, can you hear it tear again? Right? And then when you take it again and you just, let's see, if you take this and you throw it up like that, that's when it really goes.
I can't. Nope.
Jim, that's just incredible. Thank you so much, Jim. You and I have been great friends for a long time. You have an incredible testimony. This is by far one of my favorite testimonies to hear. And I just want to say this, that if you're watching right now, I know that I was talking to someone yesterday in a huddle, and we were just basically saying, well, my testimony isn't as awesome as this person or this person. This person's testimony. But let me just say something just really important to you right now. Your testimony is not based on the sins that you made. It's about the one who forgave you. And so that is the real testimony. And so what we're about to hear is just an incredible story about how he was transformed, how God has really used every aspect of his life to radically change him, but also give an opportunity for him to share his story as well. So, Tim, I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you and let you go ahead and just carry this conversation.
You mentioned earlier how Billy Graham, one of his last messages or his actual last message had your testimony in it. So I know that you have a powerful, impactful testimony. Would you mind taking a few minutes just to share your full testimony with us today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a strong unbeliever. I was kind of raised around church. I went to a Catholic school growing up, but I through some different things in my childhood, I just didn't really see the point or the significance of God. I thought that the idea of God was really silly. And when I got to college, as anyone who's been to college knows, it's just kind of a time for you to, you know, completely let loose. And I did. And the last thing I wanted to be was a Christian. And I used to argue with Christians and debate them about, science and philosophy and whatnot. But while at the University of Texas, I started asking the God question. And, everyone's always asking the God question. I wasn't getting any answers to the God question, but the question was always there. Does that make sense? And while I was having this conversation with myself, and as I was taking in everyone's beliefs and philosophies about the world in which we live, from Islam and, classic Judaism to Baha'i and all these different religious philosophies, while I was taking that all in, I was kind of building, this is so hard to do on Zoom when you don't have like a live audience there. It's just so weird to just be talking to faces. So I got to this place where I just admitted to myself that, hey, I don't think there's a God. But there was always this one question that would never sit down in my head. And it was this: if there was a God, whatever it was, and it revealed itself to me in a way that I could completely understand and so overwhelmingly convinced me of its truth, then I would turn and I would follow it. That is the only rational way to approach God. If there is a God, whatever it is, and it just completely changes my mind about what it is or who it is or who he or she or whatever it is, then I will stop living for myself and I'll place my faith in this God, whatever that is. So that's how I approached it. I don't know if I was really convinced of the total supernatural power of Jesus Christ until 2008. I was diagnosed with a really rare form of leukemia. I got taken up here to Baylor Grapevine Hospital, where I found out that I had leukemia. Shortly after that, I was shuttled down to MD Anderson Cancer Center because the leukemia had kind of exploded and my body was ALL. My white blood cell count was nearing 100,000. Doctor at Baylor Grapevine told me I had 2 months to live. So we hurried down to MD Anderson. For any Texan, they know it's probably the greatest cancer research hospital in the world. When I got down there, it was December 24th. It was Christmas Eve. And on December 25th, a cancer doctor walked into my room and told me that that not only was the leukemia very serious, but that I had a mutation in leukemia. It was called Philadelphia positive, ALL. That's just a fancy word for them saying there's no cure for your cancer. There was something that they would like to try, though. And so they told me, so there's no cure. Basically, if I didn't do anything, if I tried to take medicine alone, if I just did chemotherapy alone, I was going to die, right? So the only thing we can do for you is this procedure is called a bone marrow transplant. And I asked them, what is a bone marrow transplant? Because I didn't know. And they told me that a bone marrow transplant is essentially, the problem with you is that your blood is making bad copies of bad copies. We have to completely wipe out your immune system, your white blood cell system. They said, but because you can't live without a white blood cell system, we have to find, check this out, someone in the world whose DNA matches yours close enough. And if we can find somebody, we're going to substitute that person's perfect blood on your behalf so that you can live again. That's what a Jewish doctor told me. And there are some little bells that went off in my head. Maybe you can hear them too. A substitution of blood on your behalf so that you can basically be, born again. That's the terminology they used. And so I began asking, well, where do we find this perfect blood? And they said, well, we're checking an international registry because my sister is the only person that could initially save me because we have the same parents. They needed a DNA match, not a blood type match, a DNA match. But my sister wasn't a close enough match, so we had to find somebody whose DNA matched mine closer than my own biological sibling, which sounds crazy. So they, in this international database of 9 million people, There was literally just one person on the planet who could save me and my disease. It was going to be the perfect blood of a perfect match, just the one human's blood on the planet that could save me my disease. And so they got me prepped for this procedure. They told me that my new birthday, this is the term, this is their terminology. You ask anybody with a bone marrow transplant, they say I get a brand new birthday. And so my new birthday is actually, believe it or not, it's today. It's April 23rd.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
April 23rd is your new birthday.
April 23rd is my new birthday. So I was born again physically on April 23rd, 2009. So it's been 11 years. So my new birthday is April 23rd. But they say, I said, why do you get a new birthday? They said, because it's no longer you that's going to be living on the inside of you. It's going to be somebody else. And essentially, they're like, the life that you live will now be by faith in this new system of blood that's been substituted on your behalf by the only person on the planet that could save you of your disease. If that doesn't sound like the gospel, I don't know what does, you know? So on April 23rd, they got me all ready. They dropped this new blood. My body received this perfect gift. My body could have rejected this perfect gift, but it received this perfect gift of life. And because of it, I'm here today. I'm 100% completely cancer-free because of the perfect blood of a perfect match. But the story gets even crazier than that, because, you know, you have this person on the other side of your life that you don't know who they are. They keep all the information anonymous due to HIPAA rules, and also they don't let you have the opportunity to meet your donor until a year after your transplant, because they still don't know if you're going to die. Your body could still reject it. My body didn't, and I started getting real healthy really fast. And all I wanted to do was tell people about what was happening to me, because I began to see all the little Christian themes inside of all of it. But this is where this was the kicker. So I wanted to know who this person was. After a year was up, I wanted to know who this person was. So you sign some paperwork and you send it in, and then you have to wait for the donor to be contacted. And she has to, I had a 19-year-old girl as a donor. She has to sign her paperwork and put it in. And oftentimes donors don't want to meet recipients. They want to stay anonymous. But I wanted to know who it was. So I called every week. I was like, who is it? Who is it? And they're like, they haven't sent in their paperwork. Finally, I kind of gave up. Then I was eating lunch with Clint Lewis, who works at Gateway now, at Uncle Julio's in Grapevine. And my phone buzzed, and there was this email in my inbox, and I opened it up, and there was this scanned PDF in my inbox of a form that she filled out with her own hand. So it was I got a chance to meet essentially my savior. See, this whole thing doesn't, to me, make any sense unless you get a chance to meet, have relationship with the one who saved your life, right? So there was this paper that she signed with her own hand, and her the very top was her name, this form, and her name was Janelle. And all of our names have meanings. My name is James, which comes from the word Jacob, which means deceiver, which I think is super funny. But her name was Janelle, and her name literally means the grace of God. So now it's the grace of God by their perfect blood, the only person on the planet that could save me my disease. And there was a phone number underneath her name. My wife and I got on FaceTime that night. We contacted her, and there we were talking to her face to face. And it's just like, wow, what a moment, you know? And she said, Jim, I need to tell you something. And I said, what? She said, not knowing if I'd ever get a chance to meet you or what would happen to you. She said, I went and got a tattoo. And I said, what do you mean? She's like, I went and got a tattoo. As soon as I was done, I went and got a tattoo of a jigsaw puzzle piece on the very spot in my arm where they put the IV. She said, knowing that I was the missing piece in someone else's life, and without me, that person wouldn't be alive. But, oh, and here's the other really cool thing. My new birthday is April 23rd, which is today. My actual birthday, the day I was born, planet Earth, Fullerton, California, was April 20th. It was 3 days ago. So the difference between the old Jim and the new life is literally on the third day. I came back from the dead because of the only blood on the planet that could save me and my disease. So not only did God answer my prayer, but he used cancer in my life to create this story, this very tangible testimony for anybody who wanted to know what the gospel was. Now, and you cannot argue with this. I've gone back. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to the doctors and all the inpatient nurses and everything. Is this right? Did this really happen this way? And they're like, yeah, 100%. So
this is one of my favorite things. By the way, if you didn't hear all that, one person who willingly had to go in and fill out a form that said, I want to be a bone marrow giver, just an opportunity to have my blood, my cells, basically help someone else. Because they don't just have this in a library somewhere of everyone's personal DNA, that she actually took that step to go and be a registrant. And I love this, and I need you to kind of help me with this because I don't want to butcher this, but I'm going to paraphrase. There are two main things that you say always when I've seen your shows about this. One is, and I'm going to let you kind of complete this, but if you had to take a test right now, your DNA would be what?
If I took a test right, okay, so if I took a blood test right now and they looked at my blood, they would see XX chromosomes. They would literally see a girl's blood on the inside of me. So I am technically not allowed to be on this phone call, I don't think. This is a men's ministry. I'm a 19-year-old chick on the inside.
That's one of my favorite things that you say. It gets everyone laughing. But the second thing that you say, and this is incredible, is that you were able to share the gospel with Janelle because, and I'll let you kind of complete this whole story, but.
Yeah. So Janelle was an atheist and she's still not a believer, but she was an atheist. And so this whole set of circumstances that she's gone through and just all of the things that she's watched, because when I got healthy and I started doing the show again, we would invite these college students who, by the way, you know, the National Merit Registry or Be the Match, their number one target demographic is 18 to 24 year olds with a religious background, the coincidences all just keep going. That's all I ever mentioned. You know, that was my prime target audience were these people. So when I got back healthy, we started doing shows for 18 to 24 year olds, just like we'd always had, and invited the National Merit Registry to come up on stage and invite people to join the registry. And we became one of the largest, if not the largest for 2 years, the largest recruiter of bone marrow donors in the world. Single tool bone marrow donor registrants in the world. Oh, and so go back to Jess. So she saw all those things happening and, you know, Radiolab, this podcast that's on NPR, I think it's pretty popular, came out and kind of did her version of the story. And she's no longer an atheist. She's an agnostic. And, you know, I look forward to more conversations with her, you know?
Yeah. Well, Jim, that's an incredible testimony. Like, how powerful is that? And just the way everything, you know, you said that, you said, I said, if there's a God, you got to reveal yourself to me. And what an incredible way, you know, to reveal himself in that and for you to see that. And, you know, just hearing that, and I got to be honest with you, you know, I've seen some of your shows, but this is the first time I've heard your full testimony. And it touched me. I'm blown away by it. And so I know a lot of other people, you know, that are watching this right now, that's touched you and you're hearing that. And I think I just want to come back, you know, to what James has said before. We all have a testimony and they're all equally as important. And so just the way that this may have touched you today, sharing yours is so important to somebody else. So Jim, I just want to take a minute now and I want to ask you, could you give us some practical ways on how to evangelize right now?
That's great. I will say this, the gospel is all the more sweet when people are humble, right? When our confidences are shaken and when we're looking for answers, that is when the gospel is all the more bright, all the more salty, all the more loving. And I just think that especially in today, you know, the situation we find ourselves in today, it is prime for the gospel. You know, the number one way that I know people can evangelize today is by just, I mean, this sounds so crazy, but you would be shocked to know how many people you know who you thought would never, ever, ever want to hear about Jesus would be open to hearing about him now, just by asking to pray with somebody, to pray for somebody in the time that they're in. Just ask people, you know, hey, listen, I'm a believer. I believe God answers prayer. and I'm praying for you. And I just want to know how I can specifically pray for you during this season. You know, I think that that right now is the number one way to be in a place to share Jesus with people. In fact, all the people that I've talked to, I have a group of people that, that meet, they're evangelists from Gateway Church. We meet on Mondays via Zoom at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Anybody watching this can join that group by sending me an email. I think there's going to be a link at the end of this, but it's jim.monroe@gatewaystaff.com if you want to get on that call. But there's a group of us that meet every week, and we share our testimonies. We talk about all of the different, you know, doors and avenues that God has opened up throughout the week. And we've noticed since COVID-19's taken hold how many more conversations we're able to have with people that you would have never thought you could have had ever. I mean, and people who, you know, those relationships in your life who everyone knows people who don't know the Lord, you know what I mean? But even those like ultra difficult ones, those conversations that you've maybe been having for years, family members who would have never, ever considered Jesus an answer, they're able to have those conversations, and those conversations are initiated by just asking people to pray with them and for them. So, you know, we teach a really simple way of evangelism, a very, very simple way of just starting a conversation with people, and we call it SALT. And so this is SALT. SALT's an acronym. So SALT, S-A-L-T, right? SALT is start a conversation, then ask questions. A is ask questions. L is listen. And then T is tell your story, right? And so you can start a conversation with anybody. I mean, if you think about evangelism, the beginning of it as starting a conversation, that anybody can, we start conversations with people all the time. Like we do it on Facebook where we, you know, even in, when we're in quarantine, we're starting conversations with people, right? I mean, it's not that hard to pick up the phone and start a conversation with somebody. Then you ask questions. So how are you doing? Tell me a little bit about what's going on. Are you guys hanging in there, right? And then you listen. L is listen. And then T is tell your story. So start a conversation, ask questions, listen, and then eventually what will happen is they're going to ask you about you, right? That's how a conversation starts or happens. They're going to ask you about who you are, and then you find ways to incorporate what God's done in your life. So there's sometimes where we'll get a group of people together, we'll go out and just intentionally start questions with intentionally trying to start gospel conversations. But you look at like Janelle, for instance, I've started a conversation with her, asked questions and listened to her for a really long time. It's been years. It's been 11 years. Right. And I've been able to tell my story, but it doesn't mean that I don't still, you know, ask questions and listen to her, because when I ask questions and listen, it shows people how much I love them. And so I think here's another little tidbit too, is that, you know, everyone's called to evangelize. You know, we talk about evangelism as, you know, we think that you have to be kind of a gregarious personality or something to like go witness to people. And that's just not true. There is no gift of evangelism in the Bible. It's not a gift. It's actually a command, right? Gateway, our church is a spirit-filled evangelistic church. We are called to share the gospel with people, right? Jesus in Acts 1:8 was very clear. You will be my witnesses in the earth, and I will go with you. It's not something that we get to like not do. This literally, that's the whole reason for the church. When you think about it, with the Great Commission, the whole reason for the church is to tell people about Jesus and then equip them to do the same.
Yeah.
So as you can see, I'm pretty passionate about this.
I love it, man. I think the gospel obviously is the most important thing that we can share, because it's timeless. It's available right now. It's something that we need right now to just refresh that God is for us, that God came after us. He rescued us from our own sin, from our own muck and mire. And if we just believe in him, and that's one of the cool things about what I love about Pastor Robert, when he talks about just evangelism, he goes, you know, all your sins were on the cross, and all of us that are alive today weren't alive 2000 years ago. And so really, how many of your sins are forgiven? All of them. The reason why we go to hell is not because of our sins, it's because of our unbelief. And what we want to do is just continue to believe and really just believe in our heart and the gift that God has given us. If it's a real gift, we need to share that. We need to share that with our family. We need to share that with our friends. And all we need to do is take that SALT acronym, just like you said, and just say, I was one way. I met this man. I met the Holy Spirit. I met Jesus, and now I'm different. And so that's an incredible practical way. Tell me that SALT acronym one more time so that we can all get that one more time.
Yeah, start a conversation, ask questions, listen, and then tell your story, which is different than the talk method of evangelism. Talk stands for start talking, argue, get louder, and then kick them. Which most people think you need to do to be evangelists. Now we salt, we start conversations, ask questions, listen, and tell our stories.
I love that just because it gives you an opportunity to be human. It gives you an opportunity to listen. And once people start realizing that you're here not to just bang their head, you know, bang the Bible on their head, and that you're really wanting to have an honest conversation, I think there's a lot of things that can happen and a lot of transformation can happen. So, well, Jim, I do appreciate you joining us. I'm going to go ahead and just turn it back to Tim. I know that he's going to land this plane. We've gotten some incredible things from this talk, but Tim, I'll let you take it away from here.
Yeah, well, like James said, we want to say thank you, Jim. This has been incredible for us to get this time with you. So thank you for taking time away from your family and out of your day to do this. And thank you to everybody who's tuning in to watch this. Again, we hope that this helps give you some practical tools for how to evangelize. And we hope it was just a fun time for you to get to see what he does as he shared his gift of being an illusionist with us. So from us here at Gateway, at the Gateway Men's team, we want to say thank you for being a part of what we're doing. And we just want to say tune in and keep watching as we continue to post more videos online during the season.
What's up, men? It's Jeremy from the Central Men's team. And we just got done watching an awesome interview with Jim Monroe. And one of the consistent themes that we kept hearing throughout this interview is the power and the importance of our testimonies. And so what we want to do is we want to extend an invitation to you. If you've been paying attention to our social media these past few weeks, we've made a couple posts about challenging you and inviting you to share your 75-second testimony, post it to your social media, and tag us in it. And what we want to do is we just want to extend that invitation once again. There is power in our testimonies. There is importance in our testimonies. Like we said in this interview, it doesn't matter if you have a flashy testimony or not. It's not about your sin. It's not about what God brought you from. It's about the saving grace of Jesus Christ in your life. That is the power of every single one of our testimonies. So we want to invite you to participate in this. Just record your 75-second testimony, post it to your social media, Facebook or Instagram, tag us in it, and we'll repost it. And what's going to happen is we're going to come together as men, sharing our testimony, sharing about Jesus. And our prayer is that as we do, people would be encouraged and people would see the truth of God's love, his goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness in our lives. We love you, we're praying for you, and we cannot wait to see you soon.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. And if you want to stay connected to everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a blessed day.